Hello everyone and welcome to our Sunday service. We're delighted that you're joining with our worship today. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, you are welcome here. My name is Chris and I'm the team rector, and our goal is to share Jesus' love with every home in Ely and the surrounding villages. You'll have picked up during COVID that the whole church family has been worshipping together when we've been able to be in one place with each other on Sundays, and then going further in our midweek groups. As we emerge from COVID, there will be more opportunities for our members, young and old, to contribute to our worship, and creative opportunities for us all to discover together. During the summer, we hope to open up a full set of midweek jam sessions. In May, we're going to gather as a PCC to look at the model of intergenerational church that we've been experimenting with and using during the pandemic, and how it might apply longer term to St Mary's. And we'll be regularly reviewing how things are going in practice here in the church. Please also note that our annual church meeting takes place on Zoom on the evening of Monday the 26th of April. If you're on our email distribution list, you will have received a link to the meeting and all the reports and a review of the year. Please email the office if you would like to be added. And if you're not online, there will be some paper copies available in church. This year, we're due to elect 6 people to the church council. So if you'd like to stand for election, please return your form with a proposer and seconder by the 19th of April. You'll need to have been on the electoral roll for 6 months to be elected. If you're someone who wants to share your faith with your neighbour but find it difficult or awkward, then we have a new short course coming up on the evening of the 28th of April for 3 weeks. It's called Don't Mention Jesus. Please register on our website or with the office. And finally, if you've joined us during lockdown, it's great to have you with us and we hope you'll feel welcome. It's a bit tough to join an organisation wearing a mask, and where we can't serve you a coffee either, but please do make yourself known to us. Maybe we can meet up for a walk or sit on a bench while we get to know you. Let's ask God to prepare us for worship. Please say out loud the words in bold. Faithful one, whose word is life, come with saving power to free our praise, inspire our prayer and shape our lives. For the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's praise the name of the Lord Most High. Please sing along at home while our St Mary's musicians lead us.
Yeah. The day Jesus died, everything was the wrong way round. The day Jesus died, it was dark in the middle of a bright day. Everything was the wrong way round. A friend is someone who sticks by when things are hard, as well as the times you're having fun. Well, the day Jesus died, his friends betrayed him, disowned him, ran away, and let him down. Everything was the wrong way round. A judge's job is to let innocent people go free. Well, the day Jesus died, the judges listened to lies, ignored the truth, and sentenced Jesus to death. Everything was the wrong way round. A soldier's job is to protect people who do good. The day Jesus died, soldiers arrested Jesus, hit him, made fun of him, took all his belongings, and nailed him to the cross. Everything was the wrong way round. A cross was made to take someone's life. But the day Jesus died, it didn't take his life. Jesus said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Then he gave up his spirit. The judges, soldiers, and cross didn't take Jesus' life. He gave himself. Everything was the wrong way round. That's what makes the day Jesus died good. God made everything the wrong way round on one day to put everything the right way round in eternity. Jesus took our place, dying the death our lack of love deserved, so that everyone who trusts him can take his place, living forever his perfect love earned. Jesus gave his life to fix the broken world. Jesus gave his life to save imperfect people. Jesus committed his spirit into the Father's hands so that we can be safe with God forever. The day Jesus died, everything was the wrong way round. To put everything the right way for eternity.
It's now a week after Easter, and in our readings today, we find ourselves with the disciples as they discover the risen Jesus. We go over to Simon. Simon is at Ridley Hall, training to be a vicar, and is on placement with us.
John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
And now I'd like to introduce Aram Kim to give our message this week. Aram is at Cambridge University preparing to become a priest and is on placement with us here in St Mary's just for a little while.
Good morning, everyone. For those who don't know me, let me briefly introduce myself. My name is Aram Kim. I'm a second year PhD candidate in New Testament at the University of Cambridge. And I'm on a temporary placement here at St. Mary's as part of the discernment process for ordination in the Church of England. It's been really lovely to meet so many of you, and I've especially been inspired by the vitality and creativity so obviously apparent in this community. I'm very happy to speak to all of you today, just after Easter Sunday, and as you might be able to tell from my accent, I am from the US. Technically, I was born in South Korea, but my parents immigrated to America a couple of months after I was born, and I grew up mostly in the state of Connecticut in the Northeast. I'm the daughter of a Methodist pastor, and so I served a lot in the church, but I didn't come to have a personal faith until I was 14. Growing up, I struggled a lot with doubt, and I wasn't sure what to believe, what was true versus what wasn't true. And even after I decided to put my faith in Jesus, I would still feel guilty and even sinful if I had any doubts about what I was reading or what I was being taught. If we look at today's passage in John chapter 20, we see that Thomas, one of the 12 disciples who had the privilege of knowing Jesus and learning directly from him every single day for several years, even he had doubts about Jesus and the resurrection. Some people today give Thomas a hard time, kind of calling him doubting Thomas and kind of judging him because he was insistent that he wouldn't believe until he touched the nail and spear marks in Jesus's body. Some might think that Thomas's doubts show that he was a weak disciple or not a very genuine follower of Christ. But Thomas was actually a very passionate and devoted follower. Earlier in chapter 11, we see that some of the disciples had tried to discourage Jesus from going back to the village of Bethany, where their friend Lazarus had just died, because some of the Jews there were trying to kill Jesus. But Thomas spoke up and boldly said to the other disciples, "Let's go with Jesus so that we can die with him." That's the level with which Thomas was devoted and passionate about his teacher. He was ready to die for him. So imagine that you were Thomas or one of the other disciples, and your beloved teacher and leader has just been killed a few days ago in a really horrific way. And the people who were angry with Jesus and the ones who had gotten him killed know that you're one of the disciples. So what do you expect will happen, and how would you react? Well, we know what the disciples chose to do. John 20 tells us that they decided to hide behind locked doors. They were really afraid that the Jewish leaders would come after them as well. But then Jesus suddenly appears in the room and shows his disciples his hands and the cut on his side, and you can imagine that they were all shocked, but also incredibly happy to see their teacher. But the problem was that Thomas wasn't there at that time. Remember, he was the one who had boldly declared to the other disciples that he was ready to die for Jesus. So maybe the reason he wasn't there was that he wasn't really afraid to be found out. Or perhaps he found a better hiding place somewhere else. But Thomas had a hard time believing the other disciples when they came to him later and told him that they had seen Jesus in the flesh. Thomas said to them, "I won't believe it until I can see the nail marks for myself and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand on his side," which is where the Roman soldier had stabbed Jesus with a spear. So now a week goes by, which is around the time that we're in now, a week after Easter, and the disciples lock themselves behind closed doors again. But this time Thomas is there too. Maybe he was hanging around thinking that Jesus might come back. And this time, like the last time, the doors are still locked, but Jesus somehow gets into the room again, and Thomas finally gets his chance to see the proof that he wanted and to feel Jesus' scars. And Jesus responds by telling him, "Stop doubting and believe." We can be like Thomas sometimes, can't we? We might demand proof before we decide to believe in things. That's certainly the culture that we're in. We want to see things with our eyes and feel things with our hands before we believe in anything as true. And there's nothing wrong with that, per se. It's certainly how we understand the world and how we develop and test our ideas, especially in areas like science and maths. You prove your hypothesis or theory through evidence and observations to determine what's true and what's false. We're living 2,000 years after Jesus' resurrection, and so we may not be able to see and touch Jesus in the flesh, but that doesn't mean that we can't believe in the truth about him. Jesus himself says to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And that latter bit is actually about us. We're the blessed ones who haven't seen Jesus in the flesh, but were able to believe with the help of a different kind of evidence or proof. For those who are curious, there's certainly a lot of historical evidence, archaeological evidence, many ancient Christian and non-Christian authors who have written about Jesus, and I spent a lot of my time reading and analyzing these documents, but obviously, you don't need to be a biblical scholar like me to find evidence for your belief. There's a reason why billions of people over the last 2,000 years, including the young, the old, the rich, the poor, scholarly and not, have chosen to believe in Jesus. The Gospel of John itself says that it's a record of Jesus that was written with the purpose of helping people to believe in him. Everything that is written in the book is there so that we can know that Jesus is indeed the Son of God who came to earth because of God's love for us. So when we have moments of doubt, we don't have to dwell on it and feel bad about it. We can actually seek God and get to know him more through the Bible, through prayer, worship, communion, and certainly through the people we connect with in church. And these are all ways in which our doubts can turn into even stronger faith. Amen.
As we think of those disciples, the joy they would have felt, maybe they were asking themselves, "And can it be?" Please do sing out loud at home.
Die.
let's take this opportunity to confess our wrongdoings to our Heavenly Father. We begin with a moment of silence. God, our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For behaving just as we wish without thinking of you, Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For failing you by what we do and think and say, Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For letting ourselves be drawn away from you by temptations in the world about us, Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For living as if we were ashamed to belong to your Son, Father, forgive us, save us and help us. And so may the God of love bring us back to himself, forgive us our sins and assure us of his eternal love. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's declare our faith in God. Together we say, we believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your good news, that our risen Saviour may fill us and your church with the joy of the resurrection. Strengthen our faith and help us to understand that, even at times of doubt, you are still with us and watching over us. Embolden us to share our doubts and explore our beliefs, and in doing so, grow in faith ever closer to you. As we journey through the Easter season with you, may we find new life and joy from your holy word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Lord, you came among us to bring peace and rebirth to all. We pray, therefore, for all humanity and for your creation. We pray especially for all people who live in areas of conflict, in particular for the peoples of Yemen, Myanmar, Syria, and Ethiopia. May your message of peace bring an end to violence and suffering and, in time, healing and new life to the world. We pray also for all peoples affected by the climate emergency. In the beauty of springtime, grant us the wisdom to protect the world around us, to use its resources equitably and sustainably, and, filled with awe by your creation, to preserve it for future generations. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Lord, as God the Father sent you, so you sent your disciples and us all to support those around us. We pray, therefore, for our local community, that we might each in our turn reach out to others so that no one may feel abandoned, forgotten, or alone. Lord, as we take the next steps out of lockdown, we pray especially for our local shopkeepers and business owners, that they might be able to return to and reopen their places of work safely. As schools prepare for the beginning of term, we give thanks for all teachers, teaching assistants, and other education support staff. Thank you for all they have done to continue our young people's education through difficult circumstances. May the Easter break have brought rest and renewal to all ahead of the new term. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Lord, you submitted to pain and death upon the cross so that you might share in our sufferings. As the global pandemic continues, we pray, therefore, for everyone who is sick or afraid, bereaved or isolated. Bring them comfort and the peace that passes all understanding. Grant them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's gather all of our prayers together today in the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Please join in. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And finally, we pray our giving prayer, offering the money we give to all the team churches for their work in the community and amongst our mission partners. Generous God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, we offer our gifts to you with joy, symbol of the work you have given us to do. Use them, use us in the service of your world, to the glory of your name. Amen. So as we come towards the end of our service this morning, we have two songs: What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
Sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear.
Thank you once again for joining us this morning. A big thank you to everybody who has taken part today, our musicians, our readers, our prayers, and thanks to Aram for our message. A final blessing. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favour and give you his peace. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Goodbye, everyone.